Blog Talk Radio.
Gotta have in our spirit. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. We gotta declare who we belong to. We belong to Father God. We belong to Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are children of the Most High God. And we need to pray. We need to pray for a nation, our nation. And I can only speak for my nation. We need more Jesus. We need a lot more Jesus on yesterday. And I know there are those that will vilify, talk about, marginalize. But the truth is the truth. The truth is the truth. You can't clean it up. You can't try to throw dirt on it. I'm sorry, dirty it up. Cover it up. Change it. The truth is the truth. And it's the truth that sets us free. I watched the first hearing of the January 6th Commission. And I listened to four officers representing many officers who were hurt, who were killed, who were maimed. And then I listened to politicians try to, it's partisan. No, the truth is the truth. Care what political party you're from, it does not matter. God is not political. All you have to do is read our word. Our word showed you that Paul was not political. Jesus was not political. Our Savior was not political. He fought against the political and said right is right. And we need to understand as men and women of God, we've got to start saying right is right. And what we do in the church, God does not give a care if you are a Democrat or a Republican. Your political party does not make you more of a Christian than anyone else. For God is right. God is truth. Our Savior died because of politics. Call it like it was. The Jews of the day did not want this upstart to create problems politically for them with the Romans. Truth is truth. We've got to learn to love each other. What happened on January 6th was truth. I was one of the people that saw it going on the news. They didn't change anything. I heard folks calling out to kill the vice president. I saw the news on the lawn of our Capitol. A lie is a lie, but the truth, you cannot cover it up. And I'm going to call it out. When God puts something in your heart that touches your heart, you got to call it out. And I'm calling out idolatry in America. I'm calling out idolatry in America. When you put a person, a place, or a thing above God, it is idolatry. When you have thousands of people attacking the capital of the United States of America because of a man, that is idolatry. Because of a lie, that is idolatry. And when I heard those officers speaking yesterday, my heart cried for my nation. Because we're still divided. And Jesus has said in his word that a house divided against itself will not stand. We cannot continue to be a divided nation. An idolatrous nation. Because if we do, we will not stand. We're not that old. We're not that old. And even nations that were around thousands of years fell. Look at the Babylonians. Look at the Persians. Look at the Egyptians. We're a new nation. And if we don't get it together, America, we won't stand. We will not be here. We will not be the America that we're used to. Because some of us have not even been free 150 years. America is built on blood. Idolatry. On atheists. We got a lot of repenting to do as a nation. And if we don't repent, just like Israel, just like Judah, we won't stand. And we won't have the Nehemiahs and the Ezras, the prophets to come and get us back on track. Pray, America. We have to mean in God we trust. And we cannot allow wrong to be trotted out as right and truth to be trotted out as a lie. But the truth is the truth. And we wonder why people are dying at record rates in this nation. Why we see these big old huge green bugs come out of nowhere. God is trying to get our attention. And we need prayer and repentance. Father God, I come to you this morning asking you to forgive us. Forgive our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, Lord. Forgive us for believing lies and not the truth that you place before us. Father God, forgive the sins of this nation, the sins of the blood and the sweat and tears of those that are indigenous. who have died of slavery, Lord God, we ask repentance. And the blood, the sweat, and the tears of those that were brought here so that a few could be rich. Lord, I ask forgiveness for the things that are going on even into this day, Lord God. The mistreatment of people, the mistreatment of immigrants, who you said that we should treat with kindness. Lord God, I ask forgiveness for my nation today, and I repent, Lord, for anything I may have said or done, Lord God, to add to the confusion and to the wrong of the country I live in. Lord, there are people in this world who cannot even pick up a Bible without being persecuted. We are a free nation to trust in you, to believe in you, to read your word. Father God, I lift up my nation today, ask you to please forgive us, oh God. Forgive us for the sin of idolatry, the sin of not loving our neighbor as ourselves, the sin of not having other gods before you, oh God. Please forgive us, oh God. And Lord, as we read this word about restoration, I'm asking you, Lord, to restore America, just, oh God. Restore love for our neighbors, oh God. Restore a hope in the future, oh God. Father God, I'm asking you to help us as a nation to be repaired. Repair us, oh Lord, and let us deal with the sins of the past so that we can move forward into the future. Lord God, America needs to repent. And as I pray for my nation, Lord, I repent for anything I've said or done against your divine majesty, Father God. Anything I've done, seen and unseen, I ask forgiveness, oh God, before I read your word today. And I pray, Lord God, that you watch over the officers who saved our democracy on January 6th. I ask you, Lord God, to give them peace in their minds. And Lord, please put a hedge of protection around those that are speaking out and telling the truth. Put a hedge of protection around their families, oh God. Around their coworkers, oh God. Put a hedge of protection around your people, men of faith who spoke the truth. Ask you, Lord God, to protect them and their families. Protect each of the police officers, oh God, that are walking the beat, that are good and kind and doing the job to protect and to serve. I ask a special prayer, Lord God, for the police officers, for the Army, for the Navy, for all of our military, Lord God, who protect this wicked nation. I ask protection, oh God, for the vulnerable, our children, oh God. I ask you to watch over our children today, oh God. Protect them from this horrible virus, this plague that is hitting this nation and the world. I ask you, oh God, today to protect the church bodies that have come back together, Lord God, from this awful plague, Lord God. We are asking forgiveness on today, Father, that and lifting up our cities, governments, and our state governments that have to make decisions on the health of the people of their community. Lord God, I pray for our president today and vice president and his cabinet. And their cabinets, I ask you, Father God, to watch over our leaders today. I'm asking you, Father God, to convict the hearts of those that are doing wrong. Convict them, Lord God. Convict them where they cannot sleep because of the lies that they are told, they have told to the American people and to the world. Convict them, oh God. Convict them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. them, Lord, that they will repent of the lies that they have told and cause a division and divisiveness in this nation. Lord God, I lift up our world today that we have not taken care of it like we should. And we have opened ourselves up for all kinds of plagues and illnesses that are hitting this planet because we have not taken care of it. I ask you, Father God, as I finish this prayer, in the name of Christ Jesus, please forgive us. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our trespass. Forgive us our debt of sin as we forgive those that have sinned against us, Lord God. We ask you, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all kinds of evil. For you, Lord God, are our strength and our redeemer. Lord God, the joy of you is our strength. And I ask you, Father God, this morning, increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Father God, for you are my strength. You are my strength. And I am asking you, Lord God, for redemption of my country. I'm asking you for redemption of our world, oh God. Please forgive us for putting you on the back burner. We're putting you second when you should be first. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm emotional this morning, family. And I pray for this world. And I say pray today for our nations. Pray today for the things that have been done in our nations by leaders, all been good. We have to pray. And I think about, as we go through our word this morning, Nehemiah went through, Ezra went through, Paul went through, our Savior went through. We're going to start a little different this morning. We're going to start in the New Testament, and then we'll do our Psalms and Proverbs, and then we will go into the Old Testament, which will be our end today. So just a little different. So we are in Acts chapter 27, verses 27 through 44. And I pray that the Lord add a blessing to the reading and teaching of this word this morning. And it says this. Now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land, and they took sounding and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should run ground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the rope of the skiff and let it fall off. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day. You have waited and continue without food and eat nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all, we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay about a beach into which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors in the sea. Meanwhile, loosed and left them in the sea. Losing the rudder ropes, they hoisted up the mainsail sail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place, their two seas met. They ran the ship aground, and the plow struck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion wanted to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on board and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. God will protect his own and those that are in the vicinity as well. Paul, he had an assignment to get to Rome. Our psalm for today, Psalm 89, verses 11 through 18. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours. The world and all its fullness, you have found them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. And I'm going to read that again. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth, not lies, go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name, they rejoice all day long. And in your righteousness, they are exalted. For you are the glory of their. In your favor, our horn is exalted. For your shield belongs to the Lord and our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. And our King. I'm going to read that again. For our shield belongs to the Lord and our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Thank you, Jesus. And this is a word for today, a word that we all need to listen to. This is a proverb. And you think about thing you want to know, it's in a proverb. Anything you need to say, it's in a proverb. Proverb is wisdom. A proverb is a wisdom word. And I tell you, the proverbs this morning fit right along with everything that I prayed this morning. A wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he establishes his way. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. And I say this today, everything done in the dark will always come into the light. You can't hide from God. The truth is the truth is the truth. And God will always bring it out. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. We got to understand that God and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't worry about what he said, she said, woo-woo said. What is the truth, and God will always bring it out every time. Every time God will bring out the truth. And if you harden your heart to it, that's on you. If you choose to not listen to God, that's on you. And again, the analogy of the boat and the drowning man. You're out there, you're drowning, and you're screaming out to God to save you. He sends the boat. You choose not to get in it because it's not what you expect from God. You continue drowning, and you're still crying out to God. He sends a yacht. But it's not quite what you were expecting from God. You want, you know, a miracle. Now, understand, in the middle of the waves and the water, you get a boat when there's nothing else around. That's a miracle. You get a yacht. That's a miracle. And then you get a cruise ship. That's a true miracle. And you still choose not to take the boat, the yacht, or the cruise ship. You still choose not to get into it, and you die. And then when you stand before God, because the word tells us absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord, and you stand before God, and God says, I sent you a boat. I sent you a yacht. I sent you even a cruise ship. And you wouldn't get on any of them. But I thought, no, that was miracles I sent you. It might not have been what you expected, but it got you where you needed to go. To us today, he's sending us everything we need to survive. If we choose not to take it, not to get on the boat, it is on us if we drown. And this is a Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. There is nothing wrong with preparation. In fact, it is essential that we always be ready for whatever the Lord calls us to do. However, in wisdom, behind any victory is from God. Our resources will never be enough, but God's will never fail. God's will never fail. Acts 27:44, all escaped safely to land. God had promised that everyone on board would be saved. And so it happened. Some swam, some floated on boards or pieces of the ship, but everyone made it to shore safely. We never go wrong by trusting God's word. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And now we're getting into our Old Testament word this morning. And our title is coming out of the book of Nehemiah. And so let's get into Nehemiah chapter 8. And I am starting at verse number 1. And it says this, now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. And we're about to end our seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for them, and beside him at his right hand stood Mattaniah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Halakai, and Messiah, Messiah, and all his left hand, Padiah, Mishael, Malachiah, Malachi, Sheshem, Hashabaniah, Zechariah, and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshu, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Ekub, Shabbatha, Hadadai, Messiah, Kilitha, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, Beliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law. And the people, so they read distinctly from the book of the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep." But all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions of those for whom nothing is prepared. But this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We can't be sorrowful because God gives us strength. But we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We know that there's wickedness and darkness, that we wrestle against principalities that we don't understand. We better understand the enemy is at the gate. But we got to be like Nehemiah and build a door to lock them out. Hallelujah. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. Now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of a seventh month, and that they should announce and proclaim it all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, "Go out to the mountains and bring olive branches, branches of olive trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, branches of leafy trees to make booths, as it is written." Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house, or in their courtyards, or the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate, and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And there was great, very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day, there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. Going back and getting a life lesson from Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah 8 and 6, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Seldom do we worship anymore with our faces to the ground. but perhaps we should. Such a posture would remind us that God is the king and we are his subjects. He is sovereign. We are not. They bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. We got to do some worshiping with our faces to the ground. We got to do serious prayer with our faces to the ground to hear us. I'm filled up because this word touches my heart. Nehemiah 8:8, they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. While all of us need to immerse ourselves in the word of God on our own, there is no substitute for regularly gathering as the people of God to hear the Bible clearly explained and applied. That's what we do every day. We gather together to hear the reading of the word of God. And we thank Dr. Stanley for giving us the information to apply what we read. So I give a shout out to Dr. Charles Stanley this morning. I give a shout out to Israel Houghton this morning for moving forward. It touches my heart. My favorite, of course, is Friend of God. And Lord, you are good. Come on now. Grace. God has given that young man so much music, as well as Kurt Franklin, who I just absolutely adore. So I say today, thanking God for all men of God that he has placed in our lives, in our hearts, in our spirit. But I thank God for Dr. Charles Stanley and this Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And again, I'm coming out of the New King James Version. So when I say life lessons, life questions, life examples, the word he just said, they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. While all of us need to immerse ourselves, this is Dr. Stanley, in the word of God on our own, there is no substitute for regularly gathering as the people of God to hear the Bible clearly explained and applied. So I thank you, God, for this awesome man of God that you have given this word to explain to us what we're reading. And to all the other study Bibles out there that give commentary to help you to understand. So I'm thanking God for all the different words that he has given me to study from the applied to the story to the message, amplified, almost all these different words may be different, but they explain so much. The Concordia, all of these things are out there. You know, books and study material, all we have to do is get it. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that is our title this morning. You know, God put that on my heart in the middle of the night last night. I had the most peaceful sleep because God put this in my spirit before I went to sleep last night, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I slept so peacefully. And actually got in 9 hours of sleep. No distractions. Just the word. And I'm grateful. The last thing I read was this word last night before I went to sleep. And it just rested me. How is God's joy our strength? Remember Hebrews 12:2 tells us. And we're going to go really quick. Hebrews 12:2. Please join me really, really quick because I don't want to run out of time in Hebrews 12:2. And we're going to probably go back to 1 to get it all in context. And it says, therefore, The Race of Faith is what it's titled. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. What a word. And now, Dr. Stanley, we just read the whole thing, tells us that Jesus, and we know that Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Whew, I love that word. And it goes on to say, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. God's delight is in forgiving us and saving us. His happiness is in showing love to all who believe in him. Therefore, whenever we feel weak and helpless, we need to remember that God loves to step in and deliver us. Then his joy really will be our strength. Wow. That's a word. Thank you, Dr. Sam. Chapter 9 of Nehemiah. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth with dust on their heads. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read the book of the law of the Lord their God for one-fourth of the day, and for another fourth they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Then Jeshua, Benai, Kedemiel, Shabaniah, Benai, Sherebiah, Benai, and Shanai stood on the stairs of the Levites and cried out with loud voices to the Lord their God. And the Levites, Joshua, Kedemiel, Benai, Hashabaniah, Sherebiah, Hodadai, Shabaniah, and Pethaniah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Gershites, to give it to his descendants. You have performed your words, for you are righteous. You saw the afflictions of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants, and against all the people of his land. But you knew that they acted proudly against him. So you made a name for yourself as it is this day. And you divided the sea before them so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. And their persecutors you threw into the deep as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road which they should travel. You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant. You gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought them water out of the rock of their thirst, for their thirst, and told them to go in to possess the land which you had sworn to give them. But they and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks, and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Even when they made a molded calf for themselves and said, this is your God that brought you out of Egypt and worked great provocations, yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them. In the wilderness, the pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, while the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way they should go. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold your manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and nations and divided it into districts. So they took possession of the land of Sihon, the land of the king of the Heshbon, and the land of Or, king of Bashan. You also multiplied their children as the stars of heaven and brought them into the land which you had told their fathers to go in and possess. So the people went in and possessed the land. You subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they may do with them as they wished. And they took strong cities and a rich land and possessed houses full of all goods, treasures already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled and grew fat, delighted themselves in your great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you, cast your law behind their back, and killed your prophets who testified against them to turn them to yourself, and they worked great provocations. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of their enemies, time of their trouble, when they cried to you. You heard from heaven, and according to your abundant mercies, you gave them deliverers who saved them from the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they again did evil before you. Therefore you left them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your mercies, and testified against them, that you might bring them back to your law. Yet they acted proudly and did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgment, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their necks, and would not hear. Yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets. Yet they would not listen. Therefore, you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. Nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them. For you are God, gracious and merciful. Now, therefore, our God, the great and mighty and awesome God, who keeps covenant and mercy, do not let all the trouble seem small before you that has come upon us, our kings and our princes, our priests and our prophets, our fathers, and on all your people, from the days of the king of Assyria until this day. However, you are just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully for we have done wickedly. Neither our kings nor our princes, our priests nor our fathers have kept your law, nor heeded your commandments and your testimonies with which you testified against them. For they have not served you in their kingdom or in the many good things that you gave them or in the large and rich land which you set before them, nor did they turn from their wicked works. Here we are, servants today, in the land that you gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty. Here we are, servants in it, and it yields much increase to the kings you have set over us because of our sins. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it. Wow. Wow, what a word. Denying life lessons. From Dr. Stanley. And it says this, Nehemiah 9:2, those of Israelite lineage stood and confessed their sins. Why confess our sins? Just because God tells us to. And we're going to go over real quick to James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, 16. Again, one of my highlightables. No, we're going to go back up to verse 14. Actually, verse 13. We have it in context. And it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, which is what I was going to, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Of a righteous man avails much. Highlightable, y'all. And I'm because see, we always get the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, or the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But we forget the first part. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When we put that word in context, it makes you understand that sometimes you're sick because you have not confessed to one another, you have not prayed for one another that you may be healed. That's why I tell you, and my pastor, she tells us this all the time, that's why it is important to have corporate prayer for one another. And as we continue in this word this morning, I'm just going to read all of it. And it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Every righteous prayer avail much. And as we go into the last part of our word, what good does fasting do us is a question. Upon hearing the sad news of Jerusalem's pitiful state, Nehemiah agonized over the city's plight. His response can teach us all something useful. When I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for days, I was fasting and praying before the Lord God of heaven. Later, that was Nehemiah 1:4, which we read a few days ago. later, when the Israelites had heard the word of the Lord and were devastated over their sin, they assembled with fasting on their heads. Excuse me. When we reach points of despondency, despair, confusion, a desperation, going before the Lord in prayer and fasting can bring peace, clarity, and direction to our situations. Jerusalem devastation led Nehemiah and the Israelites to their knees in prayer and fasting. Fasting in the biblical context means to abstain from food for a given period of time. Fasting doesn't just mean going hungry for a few days. It means abstaining for the purpose of focusing your attention on God and what he might have to say to you. Consider many excellent reasons for fasting. To receive divine intervention when we are helpless. Nehemiah needed God's guidance, so he fasted and prayed, and he received what he needed. To know God's will for our life, when Daniel felt unsure about God's next step for his life, he sought him through fasting. The mind and allows us to hear more clearly what God is saying to us. To respond to times of crisis, during times of crisis, we need more than ever to focus on what God wants us to do. When King Jehoshaphat and Judah landed in trouble, fasting was the recommended course of action. We just read that. To prepare for ministry, we need to clearly hear the Lord's voice before we embark on his work. As we prepare for what God calls us to do, fasting puts us in a proper attitude before God to conform us to that purpose and to his end. For personal cleansing, fasting is often practiced as a means of personal cleansing for the physical body as well as to remove impurities. But it works the same way in our spiritual lives. When we realize that we are steeped in sin, fasting helps bring healing and cleansing. For victory over temptations, habits, and bondage, fasting equips us for the battle we wage against Satan. When we fail repeatedly to defeat some sin, we should seek the Lord's help. And fasting is one of the spiritual disciplines that can help us secure victory. Thank you, God, for that. And before we get out of here, we only have a few seconds or a minute to go, but a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for this morning is this. Good morning. When we continue to worship, our worries will continue to wither. Have a worry-free Wednesday, family. And again, may the Lord God watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray over you and yours to know and remember the joy of the Lord is your strength. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. It is a wrap. Have a great day. Have a worry-free Wednesday. It's a wrap.